Hey, it's Brian Murphy here, and whether you're orchestrating a corporate gathering, gearing up for a team-building session, or just seeking a spot to savor thrilling sports and activities, the Clubhouse in Fremont is the go-to destination for bistro, bar, bocce, golf, and fitness. From team-building to private golf lessons on any one of 140 golf courses around the world, the Clubhouse in Fremont has you covered. Visit FremontClubhouse.com to learn more about their amazing amenities and private events. The Clubhouse in Fremont, the Bay Area's place to play.
They only bring me on before the sun comes up or after it goes down. By the way, if you're out there tonight, it's raining pretty hard. Stay safe. Do not speed home as to avoid listening to me anymore. I promise you that the safety will be worth it. You only get one life out there, folks. Do not risk it in the rain, because there are a lot of people who have no idea what they're doing. I lived in LA for about 18 months. It rained about three times. And, they just wild, absolutely wild. People have no idea what they're doing. And with all of this movement around California and people going in and out of San Francisco and all that, people coming up from L.A., it just seems as if we've kind of lost our bearings when it comes to the road. We don't see rain enough, and we've all somewhat lost our minds. There's going to be some jerk that's going to make it really difficult for everybody out there. Just bear with them. Again, better safe than sorry. I have no idea how to transition to Wes Goldberg off of that, so we're just going to do it. We're just going to go hard in on Wes Goldberg at the Bay Area News Group. He covers the Warriors there. He's one of our favorites. He always brings incredible insight and analysis, and we're very lucky to have him on now. Wes, how are you?
I'm good. You know what? I think radio transitions are overrated. Just say stuff and then keep saying things.
Well, listen, that's been the entire motto of this show. Just say stuff. And, you know, that's why I'm able to do three, four shows of radio on KNBR a month, right? Like, this is why they bring in the big dog when all other options have been exhausted. But appreciate you debasing yourself by joining us on the show tonight. There's a lot to get to with this Warriors team, man. I was writing up a column today regarding kind of the second half and the expectations, and what stood out to me, and I imagine it stood out to you, you've probably been thinking about this for a lot longer than I have, is how critical these next 2 weeks are, how much of a referendum they're going to be on, like, everybody other than Steph. Everybody's got something to prove here in these next 2 weeks. We're talking players, low-level bench players, starters, the coaching staff, the front office, ownership. It feels heavy, and that kind of has me excited, Wes. I don't know. Where do you stand on it? Do you feel like it's as heavy as I'm laying it out to be?
Oh, absolutely. I wrote about this, I think, last week, and some of my, you know, biggest things that I'm looking for this coming, you know, second half of the schedule. And it's not just for the Warriors, but for everybody in the league. And, you know, the reason why you and I are saying the next 2 weeks is because the trade deadline is March 25th. And
right.
So that's, you know, a couple of weeks until the teams have to make some decisions. And executives that I've spoken to have all said the same thing. Basically, nobody knows if they're buyers or sellers yet.
Mm.
And so the trade market has, you know, the rumors are out there and all these things are out there right now, but nothing matters. Any rumor that you're reading right now may have been a conversation, but nothing is really moving because there's every, you know, 80% of the league right now is wondering, are they going to be buyers at this deadline?
Right.
Or are they going to be sellers at this deadline? Because nobody knows whether or not they're a playoff team or not, because things are so jumbled, because we have a play-in tournament. That means that, you know, four more teams are going to get into this thing potentially and in this play-in tournament. And so nobody knows where it is that they stand. And again, the season is condensed to 72 games. So things just are a little bit tighter than they ever have been. And so these next 2 weeks, your whole season kind of comes down to it, right? Because if you're a player or a team, however you perform over these next handful of games can determine what it is that you want to do over the rest of this season. If you're a player who's a fringe rotation guy, you mentioned everybody on the Warriors other than Steph. That's absolutely true. I mean, Jordan Poole is going to get rotation minutes when he comes back.
Yes.
He already had his third-year option picked up earlier in the season, but was he a guy that the Warriors determined could be part of their rotation for the rest of the season, or do they have to make a move to get another guard to back up Steph Curry? Eric Paschal, you know, is he going to be playing more four after playing mostly small ball five this year? And if that's the case, what does he look like in that sort of role? Everybody, Kelly Oubre, he's been the story of February for the Warriors. Can he maintain that in March? Andrew Wiggins, can he bounce back in March? I'm not saying that if you don't play well, you're going to get traded.
Right.
But if you don't play well, it could motivate the Warriors to make some sort of move as insurance in case you don't play well down the stretch. And so, yeah, this is going to be an incredibly exciting 2 weeks, not just for the Warriors, but for the league.
Let's focus on Oubre there. And this is just the first of many jumping off points with that analysis. With Oubre, there is a peculiarity to the scenario, right? Like, this is a guy who was brought in, at least at the beginning, as sort of a one-year rental, and we'll find out where this all goes. And then he gets out of the gate. He's terrible. Schmucks like me are writing that you know, they should trade him immediately, get off of this contract. This is bad news. He doesn't fit. And then he has a wonderful February. He was an absolute godsend for the Warriors. And we don't really know what happens from here on out. But what we can say is that Oubre, and I know Bob Myers feels this way, I know the front office feels this way, they like Oubre enough that they want to keep him around. Now there comes the question, can they keep him around? They can only offer him a 20% raise with his bird rights. He's going to end up going to the bench because Klay Thompson's coming back and Andrew Wiggins is still on the team. If Andrew Wiggins is still on the team, maybe that's something that changes. But it almost feels like the Warriors had a better chance to keep him when he stunk, as compared to now when he's playing good ball. And that might push them, if they are thinking long term, and so many things that they do indicate that they're looking long term, maybe they get off of that, try to maximize the value that they can get, because they might lose him this summer. How do you handicap all of this? How do you balance all of these crazy things with just the Kelly Oubre situation?
Yeah, I mean, this is your classic catch 22, isn't it? And, yep. And that's why I always said from the beginning of the season when they made this deal, this is always a marriage of convenience, you know. Even when Oubre wasn't playing all that well, he was still better than he offered more promise, more potential than somebody like Kent Bazemore or Damian Lee could. And so, look, he obviously had a really nice February. He's not as bad as he was in January. He's not as good as he was in February. Like most things, he's probably somewhere in the middle, and that's still a pretty good player, right? I mean, there is a track record there. He's a streaky shooter. He's an energetic player. He tries hard on defense. I'll say that the Warriors have got more out of him on the defensive end than any of his previous stops, which shouldn't be a surprise considering what his previous stops were.
Right.
But I do think that the Warriors should consider what it is that we're talking about here when they approach this trade deadline, because if he might get priced out of the Warriors, and you don't want to lose that cap slot, you don't want to lose, you know, the draft pick that you had to move to right. get him either for nothing. Right. And maybe that means that you have to look at somebody who is under contract for next season, or maybe easier to resign next year, or as good as Kelly Oubre has been, maybe a better fit for a team that has Klay Thompson and maybe looking for something else off the bench and not, you know, necessarily Kelly Oubre's skill set. These are all the right. questions that their front office is going to have to ask over these next couple of weeks.
As it pertains to Wiggins, the Warriors, Steve Kerr just laid down the gauntlet. I mean, he said that they need somebody. We all knew this, but he came out and said it, which means that now we've really come to a point of critical mass. The Warriors need a secondary scorer. They need somebody else, and it just hasn't been Wiggins. The Warriors' excuse for him over the last couple of games before the break was that he was tired. He just got a nice big rest. If he doesn't come out and find another gear that he has never shown, I would argue, never shown in his 7 years in the NBA, I don't know. The Warriors have put a lot of stock into Andrew Wiggins. They have almost made it clear to everybody in the league that this is the guy who's going to hold up the Warriors when Steph and Klay and Draymond are on the decline, or in the case of Draymond, further on the decline. That he will kind of hold it up so that the third wave of Wiseman and whomever they get with this Minnesota pick will be able to then, you know, carry the mantle after that. This is a guy who they're just asking to be a secondary scorer for half a season, you know, a full season, and he can't even do that. Should the Warriors be questioning if Andrew Wiggins should be part of their long-term future at this point?
I think you could. You know, I definitely think you make a good point there, where this team, outside of Steph Curry, doesn't really have any playmakers and shot makers. You've got shot makers in Klay Thompson coming back, and, you know, Kelly Oubre and Damian Lee and guys who could just make open shots. You've got playmakers like Damian or Draymond Green, mm-hmm. but he's not a shot maker.
No.
you need more playmaker plus shot makers. And Andrew Wiggins, and I would argue James Wiseman, yeah. have the most potential to do that. But they're obviously, in Wiggins' case, that potential is there, but he's not met that potential. And with Wiseman, he's years away from, you know, being a consistent presence right. in that regard. And so, look, I think if you're the Warriors, you do need that. And you need to be trying to find ways to create that. And as an aside, Harrison Barnes is kind of doing that right now. Just going to say that. Everybody wants to say that Andrew Wiggins is Harrison Barnes 2.0. Not quite. I would argue that Harrison Barnes does more of what they need there.
Yeah.
But I will say, so, but that's what I'm saying is, right, you go from Harrison Barnes to Kevin Durant to now Andrew Wiggins, and at that position, you've always had somebody who can do. Now Draymond Green is on another phase of his career. Klay Thompson is obviously not playing, and you have a little bit of a void there. But still, I mean, we can ask this question all day, but what are you going to do with Andrew Wiggins? He makes $28 million a year. He's not worth that to anybody.
Right.
You're going to have to attach more stuff to him to upgrade at that position. I don't know if that's something you want to do. One thing that, you know, people throw at me all the time in my Twitter mentions is Brandon Ingram. Maybe you can get New Orleans to trade Brandon Ingram, but I don't think they're doing it for Andrew Wiggins.
No.
You know, Ingram's a much better player. He just made an All-Star game a year ago. So I don't know what the deal would be. So like I said, you could question it all you want. I don't really know what options you have other than trying to find somebody else on the roster to do that. But like I said, you've already got James Wiseman there. You've got the Minnesota pick that you can use to get somebody else. I don't know that the calculus really changes regardless of what Andrew Wiggins does, because you're just sort of stuck with them for better or worse.
What I heard out of all of that is that the Warriors should get the old gang back together again. They should call up Andrew Bogut and bring him back from Australia, and that they should trade Wiggins and whatever it takes to get Harrison Barnes back in blue and gold. That's what I heard. Did I misread that?
That's exactly what I said.
Okay,
look, you already have Zaza Pachulia and Leandro Barbosa
right
and Sean Livingston in the building. So all you got to do is just, hey, here's the uniform.
In the words of Max Kellerman, I want Iguodala. Right? Give me Iguodala, too. I know that might hurt your Miami Heat, and we're not going to talk about them. We're avoiding that like the plague. But give me Iguodala. Give me the entire 2015 team just 6 painful years later. what are we going to do with this James Wiseman fella? I feel so bad for him. That's the only emotion that I have as it pertains to James Wiseman right now. It's like it's pity, really. He's 19 years old. His head is spinning. I don't know why anyone would expect any better from a 19-year-old. He's now, you know, everything is a comparison between him and LaMelo, all this stuff. I just feel bad for him. But also, I don't know how things are going to get better. The Warriors have never developed a big man, much less a young player. So I feel like they're kind of just stuck in this no man's land, and he'll get better just naturally. But I'm just not seeing the growth curve that I expected at this point, and I don't think it's his fault. Again, he's 19, but what the hell do the Warriors do? They have a lot invested in this kid.
Well, he missed nearly 3 weeks with an injury, and that really was a blow to him and his development. It was
tough. That's fair.
You could see when he got back, he was out of his rhythm and everything, and everything you heard before that injury was just the fact playing time and things, and you take him off the court for nearly 3 weeks, and that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Also, he's been like you said, nothing about this is surprising. Dude is 19 years old, played 3 games in college, right?
He played one real game in college, by the way. He played Oregon, and then the rest of them were teams that he could have beaten by himself.
Yeah, I mean, the other two teams were Wachitua Central State or something, right? And then he played Oregon. And so and in the Oregon game, he struggled, right?
And so
that was one real game since his senior year of high school. And then outside of that game, his first game since his senior year of high school was starting against the Brooklyn Nets for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
So I color me shocked when you know you look at him and he's struggling. The problem with him and the Warriors is that the Warriors are trying to make the playoffs, and they have to be a little bit more strict with their minutes, not just with Wiseman, but with everybody. How many times have you seen Steve Kerr pull somebody out of the lineup this year? I mean, Michael Mulder's in the rotation the other night. The next time he's not. Kent Bazemore. Not even getting minutes at the beginning of the season because he didn't play well in the preseason. I mean, this is just how it goes right now, because this Warriors team, like Wiseman, is also going through growing pains. They are still trying to figure out what they are and how they can get to the level that they want to be. And so it's not just Wiseman. It's the Warriors, like you said, is getting compared to LaMelo Ball and Warriors fans. And by the way, I'm getting so sick of this stuff, Dieter. I really am, because I don't really care if they made the right pick. I don't have an opinion right now. All I know is that nobody can be right now.
Right.
Everybody in my mentions saying that the Warriors made the biggest mistake ever by drafting Wiseman over Ball. Maybe they're right, but we don't know that. And all these same people are the same people saying that they wanted Wiseman in the draft in the first place and didn't want LaMelo Ball to begin with. So I'm just I don't know what to make of it. Nobody knows what to make of it. And I'm just sick of people trying to feel like they're right and they've been right all along and they have like the master conclusion here. And by the way, are you watching every Hornets game? I'm not. I'm watching a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of the Warriors fans are watching every Hornets game. But it's not like LaMelo Ball is out here being Luka Doncic as a rookie. He's been great. He's been the best rookie, no doubt. I think the Hornets really have something there. But we don't know what the Warriors have yet. And that's just my point. So Warriors fans, I don't really care what the Warriors did in the draft. It doesn't really matter. Just stay out of my mentions with it, please. It's really annoying. And I'm so sick of answering the same freaking question on every podcast and every mailbag article I do.
So, by the way, that means hit up Wes as often as possible on Twitter as it pertains to a draft that already happened. I'm with you, man. And the
I realize I didn't answer your question,
No.
This opportunity.
There is no right answer. Honestly, there's no right answer. That's the worst part. I don't know how anyone's supposed to handle it because it's a no-win situation. You either put the 19-year-old on the bench full-time because he can't help you win it right now, and then he never develops, and you wasted a draft pick. Or you play him a bunch and his head is spinning because he's 19 years old and he's playing in the NBA in high stakes NBA games, games where at least the emotional tone is we're trying to win. Like these games matter.
Right.
And then he's out there. And I don't know if that helps his development. I don't know what to do. You can't put him in the G League because he'd kill those poor people. So I don't even know what to do with him.
You remind me of the point that I was trying to make or that I'm making up right now, but it's that this stuff is all messy. Like I said, watch LaMelo. If you watch every minute of LaMelo Ball, it's not like he's out there being Luka Doncic all the time.
No.
It's messy for him too. James Borrego, before they played the Warriors, said, we got to clean up his turnovers. It's ridiculous sometimes. He just makes these boneheaded plays,
right.
You know, and I paraphrase, but like this is just how it works. It's never just a straight line for a rookie, for any player of development, right? It doesn't,
right.
This is going to be messy, especially this season when it is so weird, right? Everything is so weird.
Totally.
Everything has been messy. And I don't know why all these, like, people expect this thing with Wiseman to just be clean all the time. I mean, what did you think he was going to do? Make this Giannis play and go coast to coast dunking? Like,
he has done that a couple of times and it is pretty awesome.
A couple times. Yeah. And that's, I think, what you normally expect from a rookie is, hey, let's see some potential. Can he play at a high level, at the NBA level, sometimes?
Yeah.
Like, does he have that ability?
Yeah.
All right, he does. Great. Now what can you do to get that, coax that out of that player more often? And that's all the Warriors can do. Now, as far as what they actually can do in regards to his development, no, he shouldn't be starting. That was a nightmare.
Right.
The Warriors have to win games. The Kevon Looney at center and those lineups have been good for them mostly. Keep doing that. James Wiseman comes off the bench. He plays 15 to 18 minutes per night. There you go. And then he practices and does all these things. Look, and that doesn't mean that he's going to become some all-star level center tomorrow, but it's really the only route that you can go. And they recognize that, at least the Warriors talking to them, they seem to recognize it, that they need to get him more minutes and he'll probably get more minutes. So I think he'll probably play somewhere 18 minutes per game. I would like to see them play him the second half of the first quarter like they've been doing, but then leave him in during the first half of the second quarter for the first 6 minutes.
Mm.
That way he's just playing, you know, 10 to 12 minutes straight through.
Interesting.
No, not worrying about the quick leash in case he makes a mistake or something like that. Just let him play straight through.
Yeah.
And there you go. And just let him establish something that way.
That's an interesting and positive thing. The thing that bothers me most about the Wiseman conversation, I think you're on the same page with me here, is the fact that, and this is kind of the bigger issue with the Warriors overall, at least as I see it, is that you can't make a determination on a kid until they're 25. I mean, how many times are we going to have to learn that lesson across the NBA that these guys are not finished products until they're about 25 years old? And then they might have a little bit more growth or even a big jump after that. But we don't really know what they are until they're 25. And for James Wiseman, that's half a decade. I mean, that's a long ways away. And that's my frustration, which is we won't even know what he is until Steph Curry is 37, 38, 39 years old. And my stance, you had a very clear stance before the draft, which was, I don't care if it's the number two pick, take Tyrese Haliburton. I feel like that was the middle ground between take Ball or Wiseman. And my stance, which was get rid of this pick under any circumstances. I don't care if you are selling for pennies on the dollar. You want nothing to do with a young player on this team right now. Haliburton would have been the nice in-between. Are you taking victory laps now that Tyrese Haliburton is about the only rookie who can make the argument that he's been better than LaMelo Ball? He's older. He has this Andre Iguodala-like quality to him. He just looks great for a Sacramento team that doesn't have a lot going for it. He would just be perfect for this team right now. And Wes, I got to call it out for you, and feel free to take a victory lap here. You were calling this out weeks ahead of time.
I think I missed my calling, Dieter. I think I should have been in an NBA front office. Tyrese Haliburton is not the first thing I was right about. It won't be the last thing I was right about. So how's that for a victory lap?
There it is. Wonderful.
I think Haliburton would have been a great pick. But the point you bring up is something that the Warriors still have to consider. They have this Minnesota pick.
Right?
60% right. chance it ends up at 4 or 5. Other than that, it's unprotected in 2022, but it's probably still going to be a lottery pick.
Right.
We're talking about the struggles they're going with one high-end rookie, with guy who you picked near the top of the draft. Now try thinking about doing this with two rookies. Basically, the back end of your core rotation is going to be made up of guys still trying to learn how to play. Right. And they're the Warriors, and you keep talking about next year. Hey, we're going to be championship contenders next year. Klay Thompson's coming back. All is well with the world. We're going to be in the championship contention again. Look at the Lakers. Who do they have that was just picked at the top of the draft playing major minutes for them? Nobody.
Right.
Who do the Clippers have doing that? Nobody. Who does Utah have doing that for them? Nobody. Denver. Nobody. You go down the line. That's a vulnerability, right? And that not just a vulnerability in the playoffs where teams like that can attack those players. A vulnerability throughout this whole season because all of a sudden practice becomes about developing those guys and not keeping the older guys happy and rested and fresh for the playoff run and all this stuff. And so everything that the Warriors are dealing with now with Wiseman just becomes compounded exponentially if you just add another high-end rookie to that. And I'm not saying that's the wrong thing. Maybe if you're the Warriors, all you want to do is just get a bunch of talent and be good now and be good in 2028 and 2029. And if you want to do that, I think you're on the path. Because right now, as we sit here talking, the Warriors are a playoff team. And if all you want to do is be a playoff team for the next 10 years, you're on the right track. If that's your goal, congratulations.
No doubt.
It seems like you are on the track. But if you want to maximize Steph Curry's prime and try to win another championship and actually be a championship contender, I have serious doubts whether or not you can handle doing this not just with Wiseman, who will basically still be a rookie next year.
Right.
And another guy, another high-end rookie.
Sure.
I don't care who it is. Even if Cade Cunningham falls to you at number 4 somehow, I don't care who it is. You're going to have to do this not once, but twice, all the time, and it's going to be your entire season.
And we just saw, with the minutes that Wiseman had as a starter, the entirety of it was the Warriors trying to figure out a way for him to fit into a system that's never had a player like him. And while we can all extrapolate the upside of that kind of player, again, that upside's not going to be reached for a very long time. It's going to be a totally different era of basketball. It's very frustrating, and I hadn't even taken into consideration just the struggles that will come by having two such guys. Heaven forbid they draft a second center, which I didn't think they draft one, so they might do two. It will
Evan Mobley looks really good, though.
He does. And listen, man, they're all good players, and they get into a league full of full-grown men, and suddenly they don't look as awesome as when they were beating up on dudes who were the second-best player at their high school.
Even with the Tyrese Haliburton point, and thank you for making that point for me.
You're welcome.
You look on his on-off numbers and stuff, like as impressive as he's been, and he's been among the most impactful rookies, it's still a negative when he's on the court, right? It's not like he's out here just like winning games for the Sacramento Kings. The Kings are still a bad team with or without Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah.
And so even if you got like the best case scenario of this, which would be, a Haliburton or somebody, again, outside of the rare Tim Duncan, LeBron James type of guy.
Right.
Who the Warriors are not getting at 4 or 5 as nice as a draft class is.
Maybe that unprotected in 2022.
Right, maybe that. And even then, I don't know. You can't bet on that, right? And
no.
I don't know. Would LeBron have been LeBron? I'm not saying he wouldn't have, but there's something to be said about a player like LeBron, like whoever, like Luka.
Like Steph Curry.
Like LaMelo Ball right now with Charlotte. Like Anthony Edwards, like Steph Curry, where you walk into a team that really needs you and can afford to just give you as much playing time as possible. Giannis played point guard for the first 3 years of his career.
No, you're right.
That doesn't happen if he plays for a contending team, right?
True.
You need to be able to experiment and give these guys room to play and development. And fortunately for the Warriors, they don't have to deal with the ifs of a team like Minnesota or Charlotte. Mm-hmm. We don't know if they'll ever be in the playoffs, let alone an NBA Finals.
Right.
But the Warriors, they already have the player. They have him. He's Steph Curry. He's still playing at a near MVP level. Maybe you can sustain one, and maybe that one player has a Kawhi Leonard type of effect on you. I just don't know that you can do it with two. And if I'm the Warriors, we talked at the start of this interview, Dieter, about what these next couple of weeks mean. Like this next couple months between now and the draft, you don't want to use that pick, even if you get it, and all of a sudden that car loses its value when you drive it off the lot.
100%.
You might have to package all these things together relatively soon and make a move. And hey, maybe it's not Bradley Beal. Maybe it's not James Harden level type of player or whatever, but maybe it's just a player who can help you a whole lot right away and get you to where it is that you want to go.
Sounds good to me, man. It really does sound good to me. I'm glad you brought up the car analogy. Second you drive that thing off the lot, down 30% like that. And that's why Dieter Kurtenbach only buys used. Wes Goldberg of the Bay Area News Group, thanks so much for joining us, man. Great insight as always. And we'll have a lot to talk about in these coming weeks, so keep the phone handy.
Appreciate it. That's why I lease, by the way.
Wes Goldberg, a wise man, except for the fact that he owns a car in the city of San Francisco. All right, we got to take a break. Just a reminder, you're listening to KMBR and KMBR FM San Francisco, the sports league.
Golfers, get ready to elevate your Saturday mornings. Yeah, it's Brian Murphy here, and I am thrilled to introduce the Clubhouse Corner with Ben and Eddie. This is a passion project from the good folks at the Clubhouse in Fremont. These two are on a mission to make golf accessible and enjoyable for the masses. So set your alarm. 7 a.m. every Saturday, join Ben and Eddie at the Clubhouse Corner, only on KNBR.